variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here with the Renaissance Woman, Melissa Itell Duran. Go to melissaitelduran.com and you get an idea of her and what she looks like from two documentaries. She's absolutely wonderful and thrilled to be here with you, Melissa. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing good. No new revelations for me, but Governor Cuomo seems to have a couple new revelations. What's he talking about?
Well, it was just revealed that there was a secret meeting or some kind of a clandestine event designed not to spill the beans about what happened last year with the nursing home situation and how COVID victims were moved into nursing homes, which we know ultimately killed many nursing home patients. And it was done to just, you know, protect the administration and save face. I mean, and we know what the governor's attitude is. I mean, he just basically said, what difference does it make? People died here. People died there. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I just wonder if that would have been his reaction if it was a political foe mm-hmm. as opposed to him. Yeah, it's what difference does it make? You know, the difference is that they had some control over that, and they put people into these nursing homes, and you know, there's blood on somebody's hands. The question is whose,
mm-hmm. right? Right?
Yeah,
exactly. Well, we know that Letitia James, the Attorney General of the state of New York, is investigating what Cuomo did, and you know, it's quite telling because. She got where she is because she did have support from the governor's office, and now she's kind of making an about-face and saying, well, I got this to tell you, and I have all this stuff going on, and I can show you the other side of the Cuomo administration.
Yeah, I'm sure he looks at that as insubordination Tish James being a turncoat because he made her. You know, I mean, let's face it, I spoke to him about her, and he was like, she's going to be great, she's this, she's that, you know, looking for support. And I think there was even a primary, was there? What did they chase? They chased some people out of the primary,
yeah.
But she was his guy, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, she was his candidate, and no right. doubt. So guess how crazy he is about her speaking out against him.
Oh, God, I can only imagine. But, you know, he doesn't seem to have much of a conscience, does he? You know, going through this telltale sing-song explanation of, well, people die here. This one brought his father to this nursing home and died. This one died here. Well, you know, that's what difference does it make? Everybody's dying in COVID. I don't know. I guess he must have gone to the Hillary Clinton school of what difference does it make, you know?
He learned that from her. It worked so good for her with Benghazi. I mean, he figured, you know, let me do it with the nursing homes. Yeah, no, terrible, terrible response to this whole situation. You know what, though, in my mind, and I say this to everyone who, like, gets excited that, oh, maybe, you know, maybe Andrew Cuomo is going to be taken down a peg here. He gets a pass. He really does get a pass on a lot of these things. I mean, if this was Trump or a Republican, and again, I'll just let everybody know, I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent, you know, and I know Andrew Cuomo and I, you know, whatever. So, you know, the thing is, he gets a pass on a lot of this, and I don't think people are going to pound away at him. And Tish James is doing this, but somehow they'll figure out a way to make kumbaya. I don't know. I mean, do you have any... and again, let me remind people to go to melissaitelduran.com. Frank McKay here with Melissa. Do you anticipate this being a death knell to Cuomo, or will this be even damaging to his career?
I don't know. I mean, people are irritated with him. They really are. They're really fed up with him. But the thing is, the state is liberal, as we were discussing a few minutes before we went on the air, and it's possible he'll just he'll just coast along until the next opportunity comes by. And oh yes, his book, he had a book deal, I don't know if he was doing any virtual book tours, but you know, that went ahead just fine. Somehow or other, he found the time to put that together. I don't know what the advance was, but I'm sure it was quite nice.
Yeah, he did all right.
He did quite all right. I'm waiting now for Governor Murphy to put out his book, Knucklehead. How I Contain COVID in New Jersey. Phil Murphy.
Yeah, Knucklehead would be the name of his book.
All right.
Yeah, Knucklehead. Or at least a book about him.
Right, exactly. I could see him on The View. And now we have Governor Murphy and we're talking about his new book, Knucklehead.
You know, he's such an afterthought to Cuomo. I wonder if it bothers him, right? I mean, he's such like, you know, here's Andrew Cuomo. And and also Governor Murphy's over there, too. You know, it's like he's such an afterthought.
It has to be. It's competitive. He knows. You know, that's why he puts on this tough guy image. And if you come here without a mask, I'm going after you. I've got you on camera. Don't try anything.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, what was I say? He's listen. He could talk a big game. I don't know where he's going, but he does seem like he's got aspirations.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Right? I mean, he likes the camera. He likes to show up. He likes to talk.
Right, but he reached the pinnacles of success. He was a big, you know, big top guy at Goldman Sachs, and he's very well remembered there. I mean, he's constantly mentioned at Goldman Sachs as the epitome of I don't know what. But I don't know. I don't see him as presidential material, do you?
No, well, I don't. But the thing is that, I'm the same guy who said bye-bye Biden a little over
Me
a year
too.
Ago, you know.
Me so, too. I told you. We said he's dead in the water, and look what happened.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm kind of out of the prediction business, even though we got to give them and everything else. I never underestimate the voter and what's going to happen. I mean, it's and you know, also people getting together, it depends on who you have on your side. You know, if Phil Murphy kind of gets in there and gets with the right crowd, and the right crowd are the Obamas and the, now the Bidens for sure, but the Clintons, that's the mainstream. And, you know, they couldn't have Bernie Sanders. They just couldn't have him. Cuomo is with the right crowd. I mean, Cuomo is in the right spot. The media likes him, and, you know, he's got a famous name. He had a famous father. Right. I mean, he didn't have to do all that much to do well to get himself elected attorney general, and then he just he ascended to the top after Elliot Spitzer, you know, became client number 9, and and David Patterson, you know, was the lieutenant governor, and he kind of went there and they kind of pushed him out of the way. But anyway, it laid out nice for Cuomo. I'm not sure that Phil Murphy has that same kind. He certainly doesn't have that pedigree, but he's more of a self-made guy, if you ask me, than Andrew Cuomo.
I mean, he's immensely wealthy. He has a home in Italy, and he was the ambassador. I'm not sure if he was the ambassador to Italy or to Germany. So he's got he's got a home in Italy. That's for sure. Maybe he's got one in Germany as well. He's got a very good resume. And but I don't know if he can come across well for president. If he's got the right charisma for some office like that. I don't know.
No, it's a good point. I don't see him as that, but I do see him as being somebody like, you know, for example, I don't see Bill de Blasio being big, but he did run and he has those aspirations. I know, but he did that.
We know he did that because he was looking for job opportunities.
Right. He was trying to put his name on the map to become an ambassador or become a something or another, you know?
Right.
Well, the thing is, that's what I mean. You don't know what's inside somebody. We don't know, you know, like we can't see inside the head of Governor Murphy. But from the outside, he doesn't seem to be that guy. Gavin Newsom kind of seems like maybe. Maybe he's somebody that could be a national figure one day.
I think so too. Even though he's attracting a lot of negative national attention with the way he's handling California, and he has a lot of supporters who politically who say no, he's a good guy. He's doing his best. You know, he's the He's the pretty boy.
Yeah,
I think.
No doubt. He's a handsome guy.
Yes, he's the pretty boy. And if it should run into a showdown in 2024, but then I don't know, because if Joe Biden should survive his first term, and I mean if he doesn't get taken out in 2 or 3 months, or God knows what.
If he doesn't let Kamala make him breakfast one morning on a
right,
foolish
right.
bet.
Or let her, I don't know, show him the way to the newly refurbished JFK car that she got for him.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll squeak by, it's assumed she'll run. She'll run in 2024. I don't know if she'll run unopposed, but I know Pretty Boy Gavin Newsom and Cuomo both have, you know, their eyes on the prize, and they're competitors in a way, even though they don't say so outwardly. And I think Newsom really, he does strike a pose. I mean, he would.
Yeah.
I think he would look very good. But people do admire Cuomo, for his brashness, for his, in your face, and no matter what he does, even if he tells you, well, what difference does it make? Everybody dies.
Yeah, right. Oh my God. Yeah, I mean, all of that is right on. The thing with Cuomo, and like I said, he kind of doesn't let anything see. He's Teflon in a sense. Right before COVID happened, he looked like he was done. Mm-hmm. He was finished. Yeah. Bail reform was there, and it was just an absolute disaster. And he was giving in to the left, but the left still didn't like him. There were a lot of problems. There were a lot of problems with Cuomo moving forward, and a lot of people were saying, well, now he's finally done. And all of a sudden, COVID came. And, his friends at CNN and his brother and everybody, they boosted him up, and they had him on every day, and then the local stations had him on every day, and he made a name for himself, and he quite frankly made a better impression on the public than President Trump did in dealing with COVID. And he just did. He just was the anti-Trump. And maybe if President Trump was better at presenting the COVID case to the public, Cuomo wouldn't be so accepted. And, and somehow or another, Cuomo, he dodged a bullet. Governor Cuomo dodged a major bullet and became bigger than ever after that. And again, it looked like he was dead in the water. And it goes back to an old saying, Melissa, that in politics, if you don't like the way things are going, just wait. In 10 minutes, everything can be completely different. And just ask Cuomo, just ask Kamala, and just ask Biden. And you ask those three, and their careers changed on a dime. And kudos to the victors. To the victor goes the spoils.
Exactly. Because even an election can seem like an eternity, as we saw. And the presidential primaries actually happened a year before, and you just couldn't tell. Nobody really could tell who was going to emerge out of that field of what. 15, I don't know, 55.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Yeah, it was a lot of people. We knew de Blasio wasn't going to do it. But Andrew Yang made a name for himself, and maybe he's going to be he's going to be mayor. And who's the other one? Julian Castro, right, made a name for himself, and nobody knew who he was really until he ran. It was a good.
But he was the labor. Wasn't he in the Obama cabinet?
Yeah, I think he was the labor secretary, wasn't he?
Right, exactly. And he has a twin brother.
Yep, Akeem, I think. Akeem.
Yes, Akeem. They look. Yeah, I mean, he wears a. The brother wears a beard, so you can tell the two apart.
Yeah. Yeah, but it what a showcase. The primaries were for this, and if you think about it, they're going on and they're moving into certain things. The Republican primary process, and again, before I continue, Melissa, iteljuren.com once again is the place to go. Also, binge listen to everything that we've been doing over the years, and you can hear us whatever outlet you're listening now is fine, but if you don't like this one, there's 106 others. Out there or something like that, and maybe more at this point. And please, we urge you. urge you all to binge listen to everything that we've been doing. But Melissa, the Republican primary that happened in 2016, and I guess 15 going into 16, where President Trump or eventual President Trump emerged out of 17 prominent Republicans. None of those folks really, you know, emerged with a higher profile than what they had. You know, Ted Cruz, I guess, Marco Rubio. They did, but you know, not much happened afterwards. And maybe it's because then President Trump just sucked up all the oxygen in the room. You know, no one was talking about anybody else other than him. And in this case, President Biden, let's face it, he's not the most charismatic guy in the world.
No, he isn't.
You know, and he's not sucking up all the oxygen, and you're going to get attention when you have a non-charismatic president for other people. So, I mean, address that. Is there anybody in that Republican class, like Holly Fiorina? Right? I met her. I thought she was very impressive, and she had a wonderful resume. We haven't heard boo from her.
No, we haven't. Well, she was anti-Trump. You know, she voted against him. And I think, well, she had it out for him anyway. You know, he may have said some not so flattering things about her, but she didn't. She just didn't care for him. You know, she turned against him. And but she has, you know, she's got a complicated past for her tenure when she was running the computer company.
Yeah, what was it? Not Hewlett Packard, was it?
Yes, Hewlett Packard, and she was accused of just, you know, taking the money and running. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, and she, of course, she explained it. You know, she tried to save jobs, but she ultimately didn't, and she ran away with a pretty nice severance package.
Yeah, no, yeah, she's not squeegeeing windshields, as we say. She's not doing that. But who else emerged out of that crew? Oh, Chris Christie, he sided with Trump, and I guess he got a big profile. No pun intended. Yeah, he's a big guy, but his profile expanded. No, and again, no pun intended. And you know, he had a complicated 4 years, and at the end started separating himself from President Trump, and maybe that helped him a little. That's his way of saying, hey, I'm not a puppet. I'm not this, and I'm not whatever. And maybe that sets the stage for him wanting to do something 4 years from now, because, you know, he has those ambitions. He certainly has them. Ted Cruz, I mean, where does Ted Cruz stand now? He's certainly more well-known since he ran for president. But he's sided
very
with... Yeah.
Yes, but he's very... I mean, you know, from the stand that he and Josh Hawley took in the midst of that... January 6th riot. He is so he's now I think the most hated person in the Senate.
Yeah, he's made himself a target of not only the left but a lot of people on all sides and both sides of the island, all sides of the issue. I'm not sure he handled that particularly well. I don't know where he was going with that. I mean, was he just going down the conservative route and he was just going to... what was his basic take on the riots?
Well, he didn't... Of course, he's the biggest defender for the president. He says the president didn't inspire that. Yet, I think he could understand that the people wanted to stop the steal. And you see, he's been a steadfast supporter of the president. He's a juror on the impeachment during the proceedings. He actually met with the Trump team, with the defense team. I don't know. I think that's kind of bending the rules, the boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a juror, why are you meeting with either side?
Yeah, conflict of interest. Yeah. That was interesting. Yeah, well, let's see what emerges here. Look, let's face it. There's no way 17 Republican senators are leaving, vote yes on this or whatever it is. I don't think that's where they're going. One thing I would do politically if I were the Democrats, and, you know, I'm trying to be down the middle on all of this, But if I were the Democrats, I would pivot, and I would say, let's do a censure that disallows the president, former President Trump, from ever running again. And if you did that, you only need one Republican vote to come over the top, right? Because all the Dems will agree to that, to a censure, and you're probably going to get five or six different Republican votes. And if it was a silent ballot or a private ballot, I think you'd have 17 votes there to vote for censure. But I don't know about that. But you certainly, it's a lot easier than getting 17 votes to do this. Maybe if this was a silent and private ballot, maybe you'd get the 17 Republican votes. Do you think so?
It's possible. I mean, at this point, with the exception of Mitt Romney, the senators from Maine, Susan Collins, and
Murkowski.
Murkowski from Alaska. It's possible, President Biden just issued a statement. He said he's interested in seeing where his Republican friends go. What are they going to do? You know, are they? The question is, if they acquit Trump, are they going? Does that mean they're still standing behind him? That he's still the head of the party? He's not the official head of the party. Or is he? Or are they going to break away and form their own centrist party? I mean, these are rumors that are circulating, and it's interesting because the future of the party does hang in balance. There are a lot of factors here. I mean, the whole thing is about united in hate, in hatred. That's what the Democrats are doing. United in hatred, because you've got a lot of competing forces, as you were saying. You've got a left wing fringe that wants to come to power, and then God only knows. Turn us eventually into some kind of socialist, neo-communist country, you know, and cancel all of us, especially us, when it comes to, you know, free speech and other basic protected rights. And then you have the middle of the road Democrats who feel like, well, if they don't, you know, budge an inch, they're going to lose power, and they might be primaried by these people on the far left. And I'm talking about Chuck Schumer, who actually could face some kind of challenge from AOC. She could do it. She could topple him. She's
yeah.
Not enough support.
Look, there's no doubt that that's a possibility. I mean, there is no doubt that I think there's a better chance of AOC running and beating Schumer than the Democrats getting 17 votes to impeach Trump. Not to impeach him, but to win this impeachment. I don't even know what's the terminology for winning it. You know, yeah. What do you get? With the 17 votes, what do you call that? Successfully convicting him? Is that convicting him? Mm-hmm. I don't even know what the term is. But there's a better chance of Schumer losing to AOC than there is that there's 17 Republican senators voting against Trump. Would you agree with that?
I think so. But I think in the end he might be acquitted.
Yeah, who? Trump?
Trump.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, there's no
but
in my mind,
right.
There's just no doubt that it's happened. There's no way 17, it's just too high a number. You know, if it was
right,
6
right.
or if it was 8, maybe you could pull 8 out. Ben Sasse, right? Let's not forget about Ben Sasse. He could.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, but there's just no way. I mean, they're setting a historic record here, I guess, is what they're doing. And they're bloodying him up. But I think from a political standpoint, I'm not saying I want them to do this. I'm trying not to take a stance either way on it, right? But if I'm them, if I'm the Democrats, I vote for censure that disallows him to run for any office, anytime in the future. And I think you get that. Do you think they'd get that? Simple majority, by the way.
Yeah, well, I think the bigger question is where will the Republican Party go? Will they be able to continue on their present path? This is all about stopping Trump from ever entering politics again, ever entering the presidency again. If Trump runs, and what happens to the people who we're starting to see signs of political aspirations right now from Nikki Haley, I'm not sure about Ted Cruz yet. Maybe I haven't read. Maybe I haven't read enough into his actions. But if these, are they going to support Trump? I mean, are they realistically? Can you see Trump mounting another campaign if he, you know, once if he survives this?
I don't think so. And it's just the time off. You know, it's like if you, well, you seem to be somebody who has a tremendous discipline. You're always in good shape and everything else. But a guy like me, and this might be a bad example, but a guy like me, like I was a gym rat at one point. I had 7.5% body fat. But as soon as I stopped working out, you know, I got out of shape. And then I got married, had kids, and whatever.
Okay, but you look good. You can't, but you look good.
Okay, thank you. But it's hard to get back to where you were. And
well, for anyone to be where you were at 20, who was like that? Maybe an Olympian, but that
okay.
We're regular people.
But on the same thing from a political standpoint, it's very hard for anybody. Certainly, President Trump. He's golfing now. He's relaxing and mm-hmm. whatever.
True.
I think it's going to be very hard for a 70. What's he going to be? 78 when the next election comes up?
Yes, he'll be the same age that Biden is right now.
I think it's going to be very hard for him to get back in that mode.
I think so.
It is. And again, I don't know. I don't know him now. You know, I don't know what he's like now. But I think he's going to enjoy out of the spotlight. This job takes a lot out of you. And I don't know. Is he going to do that? I mean, the Republicans certainly don't want him to be the face of the franchise. There's no question. It's just, but that's what I mean. It's hard to get back. Even social media, for example, I mean, and this is a terrible example maybe, but, you know, I used to post up every day. I had a friend used to post on social media every day, and then I did it, and then I stopped during all the serious riots and stuff, figuring nobody wants to hear about me interviewing Squiggy, you know, when there's racial strife in the country and riots and protest. So, you know, I held back. And now it's so difficult to start up again, like to do a steady thing. And again, that's what we're looking at with Donald Trump. Again, Melissa, itelljuren.com is where everyone should go. And you're listening to the Melissa I Tell Juren show, Frank McKay, here with Melissa. That's what I think is the issue. A guy like Ted Cruz, you know, we know he wants to be president because he tried to be president once before. What he's doing with by supporting Donald Trump, he wants to pick up all of his former supporters. The only thing is I don't think those people are necessarily Cruz people. Yeah, they'll support him. They'll get it. But for the most part, those are Trump's individual likings. Those people like Trump. You know what I mean? I don't know that it's transferable. Maybe to an Ivanka. I don't even think to a Donald Trump Jr. They just don't have what the father has. They don't have his charisma, his type of thing. I mean, address that if you would, Melissa. Is there a Trump that could do what Donald has done, what Donald Sr. has done?
Maybe Don Jr.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he's...
You don't think so?
I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know enough about him. I've seen him in front of a crowd. I've seen Eric in front of a crowd, and I would try not to put Eric in front of a crowd, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you know?
He comes
across a little dopey.
And
you know, Tiffany definitely is. She's out of the equation. It's Ivanka or Don Jr. I mean, if you had a gun to your head, so to speak, and you had to pick who's going to be the standard bearer for the Trump family? Is it Don Jr. or is it Ivanka?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if Ivanka, you know, Ivanka and her husband, I think they're going to lay low for a while.
I kind of I liked those two better than Donald. But go ahead. I mean Donald Jr. You know, there was something about those two that I liked.
Yeah. Well, you know. Jared and his deputy I forget the name. I think it's Avi. I'm not sure, not 100% sure. Were nominated by Dershowitz, by Professor Dershowitz, for the Nobel Prize for their work in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And I think they deserve it. I think they definitely deserve a nomination. They've done a lot. They facilitated quite a bit, especially Jared. And you know, people knock Jared. Oh, he's a waste of time. He's a moron. I mean, it's just amazing how they. But the Middle East was a real accomplishment.
Yeah, definitely. And, the forgotten Middle East, yeah, by the way.
Exactly. And I just think that right now, especially since they've relocated, I heard that they've bought a tremendous plot of land and a home in Florida. I don't remember how many hundreds of millions they spent on it. I think they're going to lie low for a while.
Yeah.
And I know Ivanka was supposed to be the successor to her father's legacy, but I don't know. She's not very popular right now.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's what I mean. If anybody's going to do it, it's Donald Sr., and he did it. You know, he got himself elected, and
right.
It was a big, big deal. It was a big, big surprise, and you know, if it's going to be done again, guess what? It's going to have to be him again, I think. I just don't think it's transferable. I think it's a cult of personality, and I mean that respectfully to the people who support him and to him. I'm not trying to be critical, but there's a cult of personality that goes along with everything that we've seen over the last 4 years. It's just not. I don't think it's transferable, and I don't think another candidate is going to emerge out of that. I think you're bringing up a very interesting point about, is there going to be a new movement? I know there's talk about the Patriot Party, and that would be a Trump party, and I'm not sure where that goes. That to me could end up being a very dark party, a very like anti-Semitic and anti-Mexican and anti. Again, I don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, but I worry that that's a party that may attract the Proud Boys and the, all those characters and Antifa, what's the other one? Q and QAnon and all that crap. I worry about that, but maybe there is another movement afoot, and you touched on it a bit. Maybe some of these moderate Republicans will break away, the never Trumpers. Do you think there's a chance that they emerge and start their own movement? Well, they have a movement, but start their own party.
Mm-hmm. It's possible. That's what we're hearing. We're hearing rumors that a third party may emerge called the Patriot.
Yeah, well, that's the Trump people, the Patriot Party. Mm-hmm. That's very possible. Right. That's very possible. Yeah. But what I'm saying is I think that would be to the extreme right. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would think that would attract the QAnon folks and people
right,
like
that. That could very well. But then there's also a new party within the Republican Party. There's a possibility that this could repeat what happened to the Whig Party over how many years ago? Was it 170 years ago?
Yeah. Well, before Lincoln, before Lincoln emerged as, by the way, the Republican Party was a third party. Was a third party, very small third party before Lincoln took it to prominence and got elected, and then it just took off after that. Mm-hmm. So same thing could happen. Let's see.
Yeah, but then again, I don't know. I don't know. Can they come back in 2024? Can they mount a challenge in 2 years to the present congressional stronghold? Are we going to see something like that? Another reaction like we saw in 2018.
Yeah, and that's what we have to see. I think it's going to depend a lot upon how President Biden handles the AOCs and the squad and the Gang of Four, as you call them, how he handles them. If they have a lot to say, then guess what?
They do.
Yeah, if they're going to have a lot to say, which I think they will, there's going to be trouble. And, I think you could see moderate Democrats leaving that party and going to a middle-of-the-road party. But we got to see. It's complicated. I've been hoping and praying for a third major party that speaks to the middle class, so to speak, and doesn't take an extreme view on anything. I've been looking for that for my whole life, and we haven't had it yet, so I'd love to say I'm optimistic. We haven't even come close to that. Again, Melissa Itell-Jurin, .com is where everyone should go. Melissa, last thought on on impeachment. No way they're getting to 17, right? I mean, there's just...
No, I don't see that. But still, Trump is not going away. He's been quiet, yes. He's been very quiet since his, you know, his Twitter accounts have been deactivated. But, you know, the Democrats are united in hate, and they want to prevent him from going back in 2024 and trying to run again. And as you said, you don't know if that's even gonna, if that's even realistic at this point. The Capitol incident was horrific. And I think the followers may have taken every word he said literally. You may be able to make a claim that he did try to shake down the Georgia Secretary of State.
No doubt. No doubt about
yes.
that.
Yes. Now, if he had Tony Soprano with him, I think that might have been much better. Can you see this?
He needed that. Yeah, that's what he needed. Yes. He needed.
Can you see this? Help your president out. Come on. Come on. Do your president a favor. He would all blow your head off.
Yeah, you know, he forgot he wasn't in Atlantic City talking to another casino owner or
right.
something like that.
Exactly. But and yes, the president did say some questionable things in some of those videos. That, you know, it's like a this is your life party, you know, and you did say that. I mean,
yeah.
So yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, it's just yeah. But I think this show will be over very soon.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's a show, and it's showmanship and everything else. They're trying to set a historical record, and and you know, actually, they've done a fairly good job. I've got to say,
yeah.
I you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. They've done a fairly good job on making it sound like it was designed. And I'd hate to be the ones arguing that it's not. It wasn't by design what the president said. Yeah, and I don't know how great his, defense team is.
Okay.
You know, it was like Mo, Larry, and Curly. You know, the law firm of Mo, Larry, and Curly defending. You know,
oh boy.
Yeah, not great, right? I mean, the last thought, defense team. Were you impressed with what they did?
I don't know. One of them, the attorney Sean. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right. He left halfway in to do an interview with Fox News. I don't know if you noticed that, but
no.
He went to do an interview, and of course, and there's a report that the former president was furious with one of his attorneys. I mean, Dershowitz is not there. The other gentlemen are not there from the first impeachment trial, but I think somehow or other they'll get through it.
Yeah, they're not going to lose this one. You couldn't possibly lose this one.
No.
By the way, I've always been impressed with Dershowitz. I thought he was a brilliant man always, he really is. And I don't know what his legacy is now. The anti-Trumpers are going to hate Dershowitz forever. But anyway, he's a brilliant man, brilliant legal mind, and I've always liked Alan Dershowitz for some reason. Anyway. Listen to everyone out there, right, Melissa? I mean, we thank everyone for listening each and every week. We know everyone has many choices, but thank you. And
right.
Melissa, final word to them.
To everyone, yes. Just thanks again for listening to us, standing by us, and as we try to navigate through the murky waters of the swamp.
The swamp. I don't know that President Trump successfully drained the swamp, but again, I think it's still pretty swampy in D.C. But anyway, Melissa, thank you very much, and thank you to everyone out there.
Thanks to everyone.
Yeah. Melissa, iTellJuran.com. Watch the documentaries and binge listen. Everything that we've done, go to iHeartRadio, radio.com, and radio.net, everywhere you can imagine. But the station or the outlet that you're listening to now is just fine. Stick with them. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on the Melissa Itell-Juran Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell-Juran and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.